Hello, one and all, and thank you for hitting the play button on the Rocker Dog Podcast, the only show that talks to musicians about their wonderful dogs. I'm your host, Tim Dill. My wonderful dog is Charlie, and today we have landed another big fish in the form of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and Grammy-winning drummer for Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver, and The Cult, it's Matt Sorum. We caught up with Matt just after he went viral playing Wipeout with Steven Tyler at the Janie Fun Grammy Gala, and these are his cherished past and present rocker dogs.
Well, we could go back in some history, but now I have a couple of Frenchies. One's named Ella.
Mm-hmm.
I named Ella after the great Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And my grandmother's first name was Ella, and her name was Ella Josephine, so I thought that was cool. And then my wife got mad because I already gave the name to the dog before we had our baby, and that was on the baby list. But the dog had the name, and we named our baby girl Lou. And then recently, we got a new cream Frenchie named Bonzo.
All right.
Great drummer. Interesting story. Right around the time I got the pup, we'd already kind of been throwing around the names. And Jason Bonham, son of the great John Bonham, was out playing a concert here in Palm Springs. And I went out to see him, and I said, "Hey, you ever had a dog named Bonzo?" He goes, "No, my dad's name was Bonzo. Why would I call my dog Bonzo?" I said, "Is it cool if I name my dog Bonzo? Do I get the seal of approval?" And Jason said, "Yeah, that's cool." So
I love it.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So Bonzo's new too. So is he 6 months old, under a year old?
Let me grab him real quick. Bonzo's
he's small.
Let me see. I got him at Christmas. So 6 months almost. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's a cutie.
September.
Well, I mean, oftentimes I ask, the context of getting these dogs, but I think the better question is, when did you become a Frenchie guy? Because is this now the fourth and fifth Frenchies in your clan?
Yeah.
Where did that all start?
Kind of like, I saw one on the street one time. I mean, this is before the craze and everyone went nuts getting Frenchies, which is happening a lot right now. But I saw one, I'd never seen one before. And I always had big dogs. I had a Labrador named Drac, who's a kind of a famous dog. Back in the heyday of my craziness, I had this dog named Dracula, who was a black lab. I named him Drac because I got him as a rescue. And first thing he did was bite me, and I was bleeding. It happened to be Halloween. So I said, "Your name's Dracula." And then I had a German Shepherd, Schissen-trained German Shepherd. And I got that out in Malibu. I had this ranch out in the middle of nowhere. And I don't like guns and stuff, so I got this dog, Schissen-trained. I felt very safe with that dog around. But then after those two dogs passed away, it kind of became a thing to like, for traveling, getting around with big dogs has been tough for me. And
yep.
I always liked the idea of taking a dog on the road. So I had another cream Frenchie named Lola, who was basically the love of my life. I used to say at night, with my wife Ace in bed, I'd say, "Oh, I love you, honey." And my wife would go, "I love you too." I go, "I was talking to Lola." Lola, when Lola passed, it was tough. People know when they lose dogs. It's just the hardest thing ever. You fall in love. And these Frenchies, their personalities are kooky. They all got very individual traits and things they do. And this little guy, Bonzo, he is a lover. And I feel like it's like almost Lola reincarnated. Because I was a little nervous about getting boy Frenchies because typically the testosterone level is a lot higher and it can be pretty crazy. But this one is chill.
Yeah, he looks it.
When I saw him in the litter, he was the most docile one. Like just kind of laying there like, "Hey." And the other ones were, and I go, "I'll take that one." the super chill one. And that's kind of how he is.
That's great. Now, Bowie was a boy, right? I know David Bowie is kind of
Bowie was actually
but
a was, girl.
Oh, Bowie was Bowie, a girl for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we always thought it was funny because Bowie had this sort of male energy too. It was kind of like he had a kind of a stoic thing about her. So we named him Bowie because we always felt Bowie kind of represented, way before this, he he, she, her thing,
Yeah,
you know.
yeah.
Bowie was very much open. So we just named Bowie. And everyone always thought it was a boy, but it was a girl dog. And we just lost Bowie last summer. And just an amazing dog. They're almost 13, which is old for a Frenchie.
Yeah. Well, I love seeing their acknowledgments in your book, your book right here that I tore through to kind of prepare myself for this interview. And in describing Bowie, you sensitive it a lot. You said he was a sweet and sensitive dog. And I was curious, how so? How come that word seems to, and that word popped up a lot in your social feeds as well.
Yeah, Bowie was very tuned in. You know, I feel like children and dogs have this extrasensory sort of thing they can do where vibes, you know, it really helped my wife and myself to check ourselves because we would get into a little bit of a heated conversation or something, and Bowie would go off behind the tree or, you know, I'm like, what's going on? And she, it just was very sensitive to environmental, like negative, you know, anything
Yeah,
negative or,
negative energy.
yeah, and people too. You know how dogs are. They'll see someone and they don't like that person. They feel that energy a lot more than we might allow ourselves to feel, right? Like when you say the dog's barking at someone or he doesn't like this or he doesn't like that. Like, you know, all Frenchies don't like the gardener, and that's just obvious. They got a blower, and I don't like the blower. We don't like the blower, but they let them know they don't like the blower and the hose and all that stuff. That's just like, ah, which is chaos for us, really, in the real world. It's noise, sound, you know.
Now, were Bowie and Lola, I mean, those two were a pair for a long time, right? In your life?
Yeah, we had another Frenchie named Miles who ended up being on
The Dog
the.
Whisperer.
Yeah, and Miles was out of control. It was our first Frenchie, and we didn't know. You know, we hadn't. And I would say this to anybody about Frenchies: you got to do your research now, even more than ever. Like where they're bred, who their parents are. Like people come up to me and they'll say, "I love your dog. I want to get one of those." I go, "You ever owned a Porsche or a Ferrari?" They're like, "What do you mean?" I go, "These dogs are high maintenance, and you got to make sure that the, you know, the breed and everything and where they come from is a solid foundation because there's a lot of that going on out there in every breed of dog." And that's why I think there's so many great people doing rescues and stuff like that. And I'll just say my situation with rescues is I have rescue dogs, but this particular breed, it's very, very difficult to find a Frenchie that's a rescue. And if you do, they're in a lot of trouble, typically, because being overbred and things like that. So Miles was just kooky, and I took him to the Dog Whisperer. And there's a whole segment on the Dog Whisperer where it's called Heavy Metal Miles. And he latched on to people, and he would chase dogs and bite, you know, it was bad. So, I mean, it worked for a little bit when he was there, when the Dog Whisperer was there.
Yeah. Well,
And
like
his
he says,
appetite.
he trains the dogs and he also trains the owners. Because I know, speaking for myself, I'm my dog's worst trainer. Like I let him do, you know, he has carte blanche to whatever he wants to do. And then I complain, I wish he was better trained. It's like, no, it's on me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because crate training and all that stuff, I'm such a sucker for all that. I mean, it's like I haven't been in a crate for a day. I'm like, oh, I can't do it, you know? But
Like sleep training your child.
yeah, so after Miles, we got Lola first, and Miles would attack Lola and hurt her a little bit a couple times. And so I ended up giving Miles to my nephew who didn't have any other dogs. It worked out better. And then at that point, I got Bowie, and those two were like super compatible and basically loved each other their whole lives. And as people know, when one dog passes away, they go through a lot of grief. I remember Bowie having a really hard time for a few months because they were like two peas in a pod. They would sleep right next to each other. And when I got Ella, I basically got Ella for Bowie. It took him about 2 weeks before he even paid any attention to Ella or she. And, you know, didn't wasn't gonna let him in right away. You know, it's like you kind of look at that, you go, wow, dogs are so, they just don't let it, hey, you're my friend. You know, it's like us humans, you know, we're like, oh, you're my, yeah, let's do this. You know, we're like, oh, you
Yeah,
know,
let's see what
check
we
this
have in
first.
common first.
Let's check this out first. Let's just, and One day they were running around the coffee table, and I'm like, okay, it's on. And then they were like two peas in a pod. They slept like butt to butt. Ella was like a very supportive dog of Bowie because Bowie was getting up in the years. And all the way to the end, Bowie was in good shape until she got cancer. And as we know, most dogs die of cancer if they're old. The percentage is so high in dogs because they're low to the ground. There's all kinds of environmental stuff going on, food. So I'm really diligent about what I feed my dogs, and I give them filtered water, all of that. I got a little kooky with Lola died because she got stomach cancer, and I started investigating water. I was looking at like what am I feeding, all that stuff.
Well, I was interested to see that you trained Ella with Bowie, saying that you didn't want Ella to pick up Bowie's bad habits.
Yeah,
What were those bad habits?
barking at the
Okay, just
stuff and barking at the
reactive.
TV. Bowie was crazy. Okay, you remember when dogs couldn't see the TV? Dogs weren't really, they have a three-dimensional sort of vision. And in the old days, with the old television sets, they couldn't really see the television, from what I understand. But now with this high definition, my dog Bowie would be like latched on the couch, just like staring at the TV, barking, right? Every animal or a dog commercial would come on. We're like, oh no, So, Ella would start picking up on that too. But Bowie and Ella went off to a trainer friend of mine that keeps them in the house with them and basically helped them a lot and gave me some tricks different than the dog whisperer, just straight up training stuff and keeping them, letting them know you're in charge. You got to say no, and that means no,
Now on your social media, it seemed like Lola was your travel companion. Did Bowie also travel with you as well? It seemed like Lola went on tour with you with the Hollywood Vampires at one point, probably back in the
Yeah,
2009.
well, I would say Bowie was Ace's, my wife's dog, and was my dog. You know how that happens?
Yeah, for
Like,
sure.
my wife's a little bit mad at me right now because I've already stole Bonzo as my dog. But Bonzo just kind of comes up and just wants to hang with me. But yeah, I took Lola out on the road and Bowie stayed home with my wife. She didn't come on tour with me that much. And I gotta say, it was more for me than the dog. I don't think Lola really enjoyed the touring life. I thought it would be cool, and I had her in the bunk, and I'd come into the gig every day with the dog and then leave her on the bus when I played because it's loud.
For sure.
I ended up having to order room service for her every day. She wouldn't eat her food. So I call downstairs, I go, I need chicken and rice in a bowl. They're like, oh, what? Can you boil the chicken? They're like, what? I said, for my dog.
No spices, no onions.
Bland. And like pretty much every day was room service for the dog. And then we were out for about a month and a half or something. And Bowie and my wife flew up to San Francisco, and I have a video of Bowie and Lola being reunited with that song. Reunited, it feels so good. Yeah. And they saw each other, and it was just, you're like, oh my God, they love each other. Missed each other.
That's awesome.
I didn't take her on the road with me after that because I don't think she loved it.
Now, what was it you mentioned it was more for you? Was it just a slice of home to be with you on the road?
Yeah, when you're out there, people think, they don't understand what happens after the show. But basically, let's say you're on stage for 2 hours, okay? You come off the stage, it's not like the old days when I was single and running around and being crazy. I'm married now, I got a kid, I'm not doing the stuff I used to do, which is, drinking and partying. I
Back
get
to the
off the bus.
book.
Yeah, it's in there. It's all in there. And the dog was like on the bus, and I get on there and I cozy up with the dog and watch a movie and drive down the highway for 10 hours or 12 sometimes to get to the next city. And I had a bunk in the bus, which is very much like a train. And it's not very wide, so the dog fit perfect. I could sleep with the dog. And it's comforting. It was emotional support because you get lonely out there. That sounds crazy, but having that home feeling and that companionship of this family member was awesome. And I would take her, we would stop. I go, you have to stop the bus. And the bus would pull over and before we go to sleep, have her do her duty and then get back on the bus. And everybody in the band was cool. They loved having the dog on the bus. But yeah, it was a long trip to be out there, and it just made me feel really great. And I always thought that would be fun to do, See other be musicians do it. Like Frank Beard from ZZ Top always had his dog with him. And Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses traveled with his German Shepherd. A lot of people do it,
Yeah, I
So.
think you might have mentioned that in the book. Did he tour one time? You guys were flying everywhere. He didn't want to fly, and you mentioned in the book he got a bus with his girlfriend at the time and his dog.
Yeah, Izzy had his own bus, and he just kind of made his own, had his own life structure. He could travel the way he wanted to. I did that one time with Velvet Revolver. We were doing really well, and I had enough money to get my own tour bus. So I'd drive on this tour bus, and we'd park up in a really cool campsite, and I'd put out all my stuff and barbecue. And it's typically you go to some hotel in the middle of some city next to a mall. They all look the same in the middle of America. It's like, what am I going to do today? Oh, I guess I'll go to the mall. So, if you got a day off, why not park someplace beautiful next to a river? And I'd do that. And I had two Harleys. It was great.
Sounds fun. Now, going back to Drac, he seemed to have such a profound effect on you. Why is that? Is that just the time of your life? I think it goes back to when a lot of stuff was happening, good and bad.
Yeah, I think dogs are real markers in life for that. When you look at period of your life and an animal's there for the journey. I went through sobriety with that dog. That dog saw me at my worst in addiction and was always kind of there for me. Anya, my German Shepherd, when I would get drunk and get loaded, she would disappear. She didn't want to be anywhere near me. But Drac was there the whole time. And then once I got sober, Drac was still there. And I got sober the first time. And when Drac died, I fell off the wagon. I talk about that in the book. And that just broke my heart because I'd gotten clean. I was out on the road with Velvet Revolver. I had about 6 years of sobriety. And the dog died. And I remember Duff McKagan telling me we were playing a show in Germany. And I basically, my knees buckled and I fell to the ground. And they were smart enough to know to tell me after the show because I wouldn't have been able to play. That's how hard I took it.
You wrote that you loved him more than practically any other living creature.
Yeah, I did. It was just that, I went through a breakup with that dog, my first wife, and all this addiction stuff. So the memory is this stoic dog, right? And this lovable dog that sort of saw me through it. So when I lost Drac, I almost felt like I let him down in a way because the whole turn of events of what happened and how he died, he died from a twisted stomach, and that happens in labs. And the girl that was taking care of him, I can't say any fault, but when you feed a dog, you don't want to walk them right away. Same thing the other way around. If they have exercise, you got to be careful the amount of time because in a dog like that, it can their stomach can flip. So that's what happened.
Now in the book, you speak a lot of, your family dysfunction growing up, and you mention you didn't always receive the attention and love you needed as a child. And I'm curious, do you think in any small way that that's something you got from dogs in your adult life?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we all do, right? And we know that feeling of like that's just so pure. It's like the purest form of love. And I feel it now with my baby because but as a parent, here's a little human and she's picking up every like thing that you say and it's a different connection, even though it's the highest level of love, right? But with the dog's there to support you all the time. Like it's like they're there. Just all you gotta do is feed them and take them for a walk. And even the walk. In the morning, I just took my two dogs around the block. I'm in the desert by the mountain. That's my time of like serenity and be able to recharge. And I've got my dogs. The ritual of that is something that saved me in a lot of ways. And so I always look at these dogs as these pinnacle periods of my life. Like when I married Ace, both my dogs walked the aisle. I remember Duff McKagan walked Lola because
I love
he
that.
didn't have a bridesmaid. So I gave Lola. And I remember her pulling and trying to come towards me, and but they were our family then, and they still in our hearts. There's still a very emotional part of our lives, and we think about them as real pinnacles of that time, you know, and you, when you have an animal, so you look and you go, whoa, we went through this. It was like, whoa, we went through this. And
Yeah.
yeah. And Bowie was here for the birth of Lou, and Bowie loved Lou. Bowie would sleep next to Lou's crib like a protector, you know, she would lay
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. There's a lot of intuition they have. We just don't recognize or give them enough credit for.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, Good Noise Studios, your state-of-the-art, beautiful studio I've seen online. I know your dogs are no strangers there as studio dogs. Do you see with artists you work with, are they a welcome sight? You know, are they a benefit to people working there?
Yeah, Billy Gibbons is a dog lover. He was just there and he loves dogs. He's just never really had one.
Yeah.
Never had a dog. And he doesn't have kids, but he's so into the dogs. He always brings them toys. He sends me toys for the dogs in the mail
Love
with a little note. This is for Ella. I have a video of Ella running to LaGrange from a toy that Billy bought him or her. And people, there's always studio dogs. A lot of times, a
Yeah.
lot of producers, I have studio dogs. A friend of mine, Joe Barisi, he's got this lab. He's had a couple, but he lost his last lab. But studio dogs are a thing. It's a cool thing to have around. Like, you don't want them in the loud environment. I leave them in the control room. But Drac was always in the studio. I had a studio named Drac Studios.
That's right. That's right.
That was named after my dog. And
Yeah.
Drac laid underneath the console almost every session. And Bowie and Lola too. And little Bonzo's just being kind of introduced to the studio environment. I think Bonzo's going to be a really good studio dog.
Have any of your dogs made it on record?
Well, yes, I have a song on my solo album called That's What Ziggy Says. And lyrically, it's a song I have about life on my solo album called Fierce Joy. It's basically, I kind of used a David Bowie method of when I write lyrics sometimes. And I knew a song was about my life. So I wrote all my family members, my dogs in on pieces of paper, and then I created verses. And that's life, that's all there is. That's life, that's all there is. That's life, that's all there is. And Lola, she leaps like a lizard, and Bowie is aghast, and they both know how to laugh. Ace has the face of a goddess, and she dances with a twist, and her lips you can't resist. And my grandmother, sweet Corolla, she was my flower. My grandfather's name was Kermit, and Kermit was not a frog, but they used to bark just like a dog. And Josephine was a ballerina, my grandmother, and jeté around Dr. Bob, my grandfather, and his heart, how it did throb. That's life, that's all there is. That's life, that's all there is.
That's great.
But Bowie and Lola made that song,
That's great.
and I've got barks. I've got some barks on my first album, Hollywood Zen, which was Drac, and it sounds so cool because I put some reverb on it, and it was on a song called 3% Solution. And I remember the beginning, the dog was barking, and I had the vocal mic in it, woof, 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 woof. And it started with this weird guitar, and it just sounded cool. And I go, leave that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I gotta check that out. And I can see when I post, when I promote for this show, I'll put that song against our
Yeah.
graphics. Well, I don't want to keep you too long. I end the show with what I call the zoomies, and that's five fast and frivolous questions. The first question is, do you kiss your dogs on the mouth?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. I love kissing my dogs, you know. I'm
Yeah.
not like gross with it. Just give them a little
Yes. Yes. But
cup.
if you're like me, you're eager to show them you're willing to go there.
Supposedly, they don't know what the hell that means. That's
Yeah.
what they say scientifically. It's like they don't know what a kiss means. I
I
go,
don't know. They can feed off the energy.
yeah.
For
Have you read
sure.
that? They're like, dogs don't understand kisses.
I haven't, but
I'm like, I'm not gonna
just
lick them. I'm not licking
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
You know,
Maybe they'd
that's
understand that better.
yeah, that's a little weird.
All right, question two is, do any of your dogs have a theme song? I know you just went through a song that you wrote, but is there a song out there, a popular song that kind of either reminds you of their dog, or if your dog was to walk the red carpet, what song would play for them?
Well, I got Bonzo, and I put up a thing on Instagram to Bonzo's Montrose, which is Led Zeppelin, John Bonham's favorite famous drum solo.
Okay.
And I don't know, Ella Fitzgerald song, I guess,
Okay. And question three, you insinuated this with the room service, but if your dog was, and this is hypothetical, if any of your dogs went on tour with you, what would they insist be on the tour rider? So boiled
Ah.
chicken and rice.
Oh no, they would have like some filet mignon. So,
Why skimp? Why skimp?
yeah, they would do it up a little bit. I can't give them too much though, because that rich stuff can mess with their tummies.
Yeah.
So that would be like a nice little appetizer, backed up with some nice baked or boiled chicken and some brown rice.
Okay. All right. Question four is, do you have a dog voice? Do you speak to your dogs in a certain tone of voice?
I do. I'm like, I go higher. Ella, come on, Ella. Yeah.
You ever give your dogs a voice as if they were speaking? And what they would sound
I've done that
like.
before. Yeah. Hey, it's Bonzo. Hey, Mike, what you doing? It's Bonzo. All right.
Right. Last but not least, I know you have your charity, you have certain charities you've worked with. You're an ambassador for Animals Asia and the Dolphin Project. But this question is, if there's a dog organization or even a service, whether it's a walker or a vet, anyone you'd like to shout out at this time?
Oh yeah. Well, Animals Asia does dog protection in Asia as well. I think I gave you the name before. They're out of the desert. I mean, they're in LA. They rescued a dog for me. I found a dog out here in the desert that was living outside 24 hours. And it was like freezing in the winter and 120, during the day. And I had called them and they came and got this dog. And I told the lady I'm gonna take your dog. She goes, "Well, come over and get them." It was one of those, And these guys are amazing, and I want to give them props. Pet Orphans, SoCal.
Okay.
Pet Orphans in Southern California. So it's, yeah, an amazing organization. So I thought this dog was looked like he was 15 years old. By the time they got him and cleaned him up, I went back and saw the dog, and I'm like, "How old is this dog?" She's like, "Maybe three." I'm like,
Wow.
okay. It's petorphans.org.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, we'll put a little bit more information in our write-up that sits on, the podcasting station you get this from, and let people know a little bit more. One last question, and I'll let you go. This kind of goes back to your room service thing, but you have such, I have written down exquisite taste. I would probably add expensive taste in your cars, in your fashion, your interior design. So have you ever spent over the top on your dogs?
I bought the couch for the dogs. I got this couch from France. It's made out of microfiber, as we know. I have another couch that's about $25,000. They're not allowed on that one. But the French one I bought is close to 18 grand, but it's micro suede.
Right.
So I go
They
ahead, go
can
on
go
it,
nuts.
because it wipes clean. It's amazing. It's called Ligne Rosé. Ligne Rosé from France.
Okay.
It's a
Yep.
low couch, and they can get on it too, because in Palm Springs we have a lot of low furniture. And I say this to Frenchie lovers: don't let those Frenchies jump too much, because they have backs that are very small and the vertebrae are tight. So we have low furniture, and they have stairs on the bed, still low, but they can get up on this couch. It's called the Togo by Ligne Rosé, and
Okay.
it's micro suede. And I spent a lot of money on that couch for the dogs. I like it too.
I'm sure they appreciate it. I'm sure they appreciate
Yeah.
it. Well, Matt, I appreciate your time. When I started this 80 something episodes ago, you were top of my list, so I'm glad I finally got you. I knew you were a great dog guy and an advocate for animals, so thank you.
Awesome.
Right,
Thank
have a
you.
great weekend.